What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How you doing, brother?
Wearing a very nice fitting and comfortable shirt from the with no holes in it.
No holes whatsoever. Look at that.
From Tyra Valkyrie.
Taya.
Sorry.
Nervous. Balawera. That's why you got confused.
So this is how you do a pro wrestling tease.
Yeah, man.
See that? No hole to put over the mic. I don't know who makes your shirts, but we're going to give them a plug at the end of the podcast.
If it's probably Republic of Lucha, I'm assuming they make most of her shirts. So,
well, whoever it is does a hell of a better job than pro wrestling tees. I'll tell you that much. Other than that, I'm good.
All right. Well.
Losers.
By the way, you and I are tied, I think, for the Rumble as to who's the champ.
Well, you should feel bad because I was just guessing.
Well, I think John should feel bad that he lost to both of them.
Yeah, that's even worse.
I mean, it was just everything was wrong.
I mean, look, I've heard a lot of complaining about the Rumble. I've heard everyone bitch about it. I had fun with it. I thought, yes, the ending was predictable. Cody winning was everybody knew Cody was going to win, even though we didn't want that. But the actual Rumble itself, the eliminations were pretty unpredictable to me. I wasn't expecting Bobby Lashley to come in and just knock out Brock like that. That was pretty. Did you watch it?
Ask me some questions. You'll find out.
Did you like the men's Rumble? Because a lot of people were complaining about it.
Well, I must say I was correct in saying Gunther.
Yeah, he did pick that.
You did get that. I was shocked when he was the first one out.
Yeah.
Well, he's the perfect guy because he's known enough. Nobody cares if he loses early. Like, it's not, there's not going to be riots in the streets if Gunther loses early. So, you know, because you can't have that first one be too big and then they lose or unknown because then it's, like, it's a bad start. So I liked it, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I mean, having Gunther go all the way to the end, I mean, it just shows how different Triple H's booking is to Vince McMahon's, where Vince McMahon, right before this whole thing happened, was ready to bury Gunther. It was about to happen. He was about to drop the belt. He didn't like the reaction he was getting or whatever it was. But Triple H thankfully rescued him, and look at that. Now we have a record-breaking performance at the Royal Rumble from Gunther, which was pretty cool.
I mean, Gunther's career was going so bad, he literally did a run-in and, like, I think two XPW shows ago. No, I'm not, you know, they didn't even put the light on him.
Jeez.
And everyone was like, who the fuck was that? And people were like, oh, that's Gunther. So when you're in an angle with Jasmine St. Clair on XPW, Vince don't like you.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get to this in a minute, but I think that was a safety net. And I think after today's SmackDown, it's obvious what's going to happen. But I think it was a safety net to see if they really decide they want to put Sammy over and have him headline WrestleMania, having Gunther go to the end of the Royal Rumble and get eliminated by Cody. They could have had Gunther come back, attack Cody, and then have Cody go after the Intercontinental title and dethrone him there. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen now. It seems like who's going to dethrone Gunther where it's exciting.
Well, the talks are a three-way match with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus and him, a three-way tornado, whatever they call it, for the IC belt. I mean, it would be a good way to get the belt off of him without having him eat a pin, because like one of the other two guys can eat the pin.
Yeah, but also it just Sammy should be fighting Roman.
Oh, he is.
It was an opportunity for Cody to come back and earn his way to the top, go after the IC title, hold it for a few months, drop it, and then go after it. But it's all being forced again. This is what they did to Roman. I think Cody's going to get a lot of boos.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of people like Cody. I think what's going to happen is this Sammy Roman thing is going to blow off at Elimination Chamber, which is what we call the toilet pay-per-view, because that's what an Elimination Chamber is. But
that's pretty funny. I'll give him that.
But you know, that as we saw tonight on SmackDown, you know, Sammy came out, speared Roman. Like this thing is too hot to wait to Mania. They need to fight now. And the next thing is the Elimination Chamber. So according to Dave Meltzer, Triple H doesn't see Sammy as the main eventer, even though he's over as hell, you know? So
that's because they spent the last 2 years burying the guy in humor matches.
Yep.
So
I mean, they've done a good job of rebuilding him with this whole Bloodline story, but yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I think if he were to become champion, it would be just to please the fans, kind of like Kofi Mania. It'll last like 6 weeks and then he'll drop it again. You know what I mean?
Well, I think there are just more possibilities with Sammy as champion. I think there, especially like another KO feud, which I think we're due for another one.
Yeah.
Every few years, I mean, we get
a KO.
Help.
They just kind of now they're the new Sammy shirt has that duct tape like KO shirt, so I think they're just gonna team up.
I mean, that's obviously what's gonna happen. I think Jay cost him the title at Elimination Chamber in his hometown, so it's not Sammy getting beat by Roman; it's Sammy getting screwed.
Yep,
and Montreal screw job.
Yeah, and it'll be Usos versus KO and Sammy at Mania. That's what we're getting. That's the plan. Cody, unfortunately, because he lost, what was it, 6 months or whatever. By the way, did you see the scar? Is this still a work?
That was makeup.
Hollywood makeup. I don't know. Cody, people like Cody. So either way, if the blow off for this at Elimination Chamber is successful, they can pull this off. And I already like what Cody's presenting, which is the family thing, like the royal family, the Rhodes versus the Bloodline, which is like the two old school families.
Except there's no Rhodes there.
Well, you know. Except
well,
for him.
I could bring back Goldust.
Yeah, they could bring back. He's not doing much.
Tonight, Roman in Roman's opening, in Roman's like his speech, he was like, we should be talking about Cody Rhodes. That's the guy who should be getting my attention. I'm like, I already don't like this. Like WrestleMania, it's always been about Randy Orton breaking into Triple H's house or whatever. And just, like, it's always been two heated rivalries, and this just seems like too great. Like powerful superstars fighting each other with no story. Like their summary of how they ended up fighting each other is going to be 30 seconds at most.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean,
maybe they can reenact Austin going into Pillman's pad with the live ammo.
My goodness.
Everything. The Sammy match is going to steal WrestleMania. I'm calling it now. Sammy and Owens versus Usos.
For sure. I mean, so what do you think? Do we get Cody and Reigns for both belts, and then Cody unites it into like a eagle, the old eagle wing
They've
belt?
Already said it's for the Undisputed Universal WWE, whatever it's called.
So that'll be night two. I mean, I guess he won't defend it both nights. Who's the main event of night one?
That'd be cool to put him over, though, to have him defend both nights.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But
well, if anything, I would have him lose in night two, and then Cody to prove that he deserves it. He would lose it in night one, and then Cody to prove that he deserved the title.
Gets a rematch on night two?
Either gets a rematch or takes on like an open challenge the next night. Because the Austin thing was like a surprise.
Yeah.
Like they could do something like that at a last-minute match.
That'd be interesting. But, I mean, I got to say, going back to the Rumble, like having the Rumble, the men's Rumble first, I got mad at first, but it made sense because that Bloodline story, the way it all played out, the pop at the end when Sammy hit Roman with the chair, out of control. I haven't heard that loud of a pop in a very long time.
That was a big pop for sure. Like
everybody knew that it was coming. Everybody knew Sammy was eventually going to turn or they were going to turn on him. But I don't know. It just still, they told the story so well that by the time it happened, everybody was in. Like, yes, finally, good timing, you know?
I mean, this is what happens when you extend a storyline. You don't rush it. You almost prolong it, maybe a week or two too long. But like the anticipation, even though everyone knew what was going to happen eventually, was amazing. Like, I wish they would learn from that, both companies, mm-hmm. really every company, and go, that's how you do it. It was perfect storytelling.
Yeah, and even tonight, I haven't seen it. I saw clips on Twitter because I had to come over here, but when Sammy came out to beat up Roman, like phew, crowd went nuts.
He's
done it. I mean, think about a couple years back, him in the giant mouse trap with Jackass, and look at where he's at now. I mean,
I thought that match.
That match was great.
It was great, but think about it.
I think I said it's going to ruin his career because it was funny. Like it was very, you know, it's like Elias. It's funny, but like. I thought, oh boy, he's never going to recover from this.
Yeah.
And so I was wrong.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this, the way that they were, and the conspiracy thing, I thought Sammy was done also. I thought it was a great match. That was 2022. I thought the Jackass match was great. I also thought it was going to be the end of his career. I'm like, how do they even turn this around? And they did. They put him with the top guy, and that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to have as easy of a path of doing that for Baron Corbin. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I wish they would utilize him properly. They just gave him JBL, who's useless.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And, you know, I really like Baron Corbin's in-ring work. I think he moves really good. If he were to just stop talking for a while. I mean, look, I was fantasy booking this the other night with a buddy of mine because they were like, oh, the only reason this Bloodline thing is working is Sami Zayn. I'm like, no disrespect to Sami's work, but that story doesn't work without Roman Reigns. And you can kind of, like, you could put Baron Corbin in Sami's shoes, and he, you know, when he was broke, when Baron Corbin was doing the broke-ass Corbin thing, and have him, like, have the tribal chief kind of lift him up, bring him in, and, like, you know, it shows that Roman's a giving tribal chief, get him up to main event status, and then the whole betrayal thing would have worked equally good, I think. But we haven't given Corbin anything to work with. Those storylines are garbage. They need to figure something out.
I don't even know. I mean, they broke him up with Madcap. We haven't seen Madcap in God knows how long. They fucked him up too. He was potentially a star. The guy had the body. He had the speed. He needed some mic work. But I don't know what's Baron Corbin's the one where I'm like, how did they fuck this up so bad? They should have added him into Judgment Day. And let that grow, because it seems like they're trying to make stars out of Judgment Day.
Speaking of that, Monday Night Raw, we got Judgment Day interfering with Cody's little speech against Roman and gave us a dream match that I wasn't expecting at all. I was, even when they were talking to each other, I'm like, they're going to fuck this up and make it Cody versus Dom or something. But no, they gave us Finn Balor and Cody, and that has a lot of history that maybe the casual WWE fan doesn't know, but, you know, Finn Balor started the Bullet Club. Cody became the leader of the Bullet Club at one point. You know, the whole they hinted at it throughout the show. They did the finger gestures and all that shit and cutting promos to each other. But yeah, it was a good match. I like seeing Cody wrestling now. I still kind of cringe because I feel like his pec is still getting weird bruising. Whatever. I mean,
they probably rushed him back. Like, hey, dude,
get it together.
If you want to be in the mid card, take a few more weeks off, but.
Yeah,
WrestleMania is around the corner. We injuries, we don't care. Dude. Juice him up.
I mean, he took some chops from Gunther in the Rumble, and I was like, I couldn't tell if those were hand marks or he was re-injured.
Dude, I mean, they gave us a whole like 5 minute singles match with Cody and Gunther at the end of the Rumble. I thought that was great too. They're trying to build up Cody to the very top, and I think they're doing a good job. They're putting him up against some of the best in the business so far. I just don't know how we get to an emotional state with Cody versus Roman. What has to happen? Do we have Roman keep digging at him because the Rhodes family's all fucked up? Like, what do we do?
You gotta have him cut a promo on Dusty. Your old man was a fat slob. His forehead looked like shit.
Really? The family that housed Rikishi?
You know, I didn't say there wouldn't be a rebuttal.
Weren't they unable to get on a plane because of their sizes?
Jesus Christ. Imagine being the guy who had to weigh that plane going, yeah, Bo. All right, we got another flight in 2 hours.
He's got to bring his own bucket. I mean, he doesn't fit in the bathroom if he's
a little. That's what Andre the Giant did.
Yeah.
See that documentary? When they would fly Andre the Giant to Japan. He had to shit in a bucket and coach, and it's not like that bucket went anywhere. Like that's a 16-hour flight, so that coach paid for the first class of Andre the Giant's on your flight.
I highly doubt they had a lid for it either, you know?
But can you imagine how bad that must have smelled? And what? It's not like you can open up the cockpit door and just toss it out. Like, that's there.
Yeah.
A bucket of...
Well, you could dump the bucket in the weird toilet, right, I guess?
I mean, you could put it... I guess where the food is in the galley down, but you want to eat the food after it's been marinating by Andre the Giant's doo-doo?
Doo-doo dander floating around. No, thank you. Other stuff that happened at in WWE was the Strowman and Ricochet. Do they have a name yet? Can we make a Flippy Flopper and the Monster? Like, what was it we're going for? I don't know what they're calling it, but Strowman and Ricochet win the tournament. So I guess it's them versus the Usos at Elimination Chamber. Is that what's happening? They won the tournament tonight.
No, that's next week.
So next week they're meeting the Usos?
Yep.
God, what a waste of time this whole tournament was, huh?
I'm so sick of tournaments. I am just over them.
I like tournaments if they're one night. That's it. You have three matches in the one night. You win each one, and then you're the champ. Great. But yeah, this is bullshit, because what was the whole point of the tournament? Just for that? Just so that they have somebody to fight next week?
It's insane how they, like, it's just too much.
But what about that move Logan Paul did?
Dude, at the Rumble.
Telling you, if this guy gets a little bit of training behind him, like, sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah, that spot with Ricochet, man. I mean, it was crafted for that. You know, they knew what they were doing. It was going to get a huge pop. Nobody wanted to see Logan Paul actually win the Rumble. So I thought it was the perfect move to bring him in, have him kind of like mock all the wrestlers. Like, hey, what's up? I'm here. And then, you know, gets beat up a little bit. And then that one big pop just to get him over a little bit. And I like that for him. I want him to do more of that. If you want to really be a babyface and win us over, keep doing shit like that. I think we'll get into it.
I'd rather see him as a heel.
Oh, me too.
They're just him and his brother. I don't think his brother could do the stuff he's doing, Jake.
Oh, no, no. I don't think so.
Probably more stronger.
More stronger. I thought I was the brown guy here.
Didn't he launch with...
more strong.
Didn't he launch with Hangman's lariat and do it better than him again?
Did he do that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Wait, when did that... Logan Paul?
Yeah, Logan Paul does that lariat and fucking crushes it.
Yeah.
He does the flip over the ropes and takes... And he does it in one motion. You know how, like, Hangman stops when he lands, right, and then this guy barely touches the floor and is already leaping towards someone? It's great.
Yeah, and he threw out Seth Rollins, so I think that's a good program for him for Mania, right? Logan Paul and Seth?
Yeah, but I can't see Seth Rollins at this stage of his career going, I'll do the job.
Oh, no, he's not going to lose to Logan Paul, but at least it'll give Rollins something to do since he's not in the either title picture right now, and they give him the nice famous guy that, you know, before him was Roman, so it's not too bad. You imagine that? He leaves to AEW and fights Mox, fights the whole Shield.
Who, Rollins?
No, Logan Paul. Fights Roman, fights Seth Rollins, and then goes over there and fights Moxley.
Well, what's his contract? Is he like a paper or appearance?
I don't know. I don't know if he's on a timed contract.
I think he's on a contract where he owes them a certain amount of appearances for a certain amount of money. That's what all of them do. They don't really do the one-off appearances unless they're a legend the way that AEW does.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the Paul brothers strike me as the type that, you know, they have no loyalty to the wrestling business. So, yeah, we'll go to AEW, sure. Like, why not?
Yeah. Well, one last thing I want to talk about with WWE before we jump to AEW. the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Horrible.
Buddy, I mean, listen, I love Bray Wyatt. I bought the shirt. I'm all about it. I even loved the way it looked. It looked cool to me because I had black lights when I was growing up in my room. And I like black light posters and neon shit. I used to listen to industrial music and fucking play an Unreal Tournament. All that bullshit. I was all about that scene. This match sucked. It sucked so much. It was very disappointing. The table spot was interesting because of the splatter. I thought that was all right, whatever. And the Uncle Howdy spot could have been cool if we didn't see that he completely fucking missed. What the fuck, dude?
You know, this was when I was watching it, and this is really the main reason I bought the pay-per-view. I was like, I just want to see it. It's an interesting concept, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. This looks like something AEW would have done, like like the exploding ring and Omega, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It was like, this is not good. Now, I realize not every match, every angle, every storyline can't be like a 5-star, 10-bell match or idea, but this is, I don't know. They're kind of fumbling it to me with Bray Wyatt.
Like, yeah, is there any possible way that they can make this story make sense?
No.
Because he showed he turned around and had that stupid mask on. Is this a new what is that? Is this a new character?
Yeah, that's apparently that's Wyatt Six. So you know how he changed his username on Twitter to Wyatt Six. If you look closely on his head, there is a six in that weird white black light paint that he was wearing. So yes, that is Wyatt Six. That is the new Fiend.
But that guy was different than the one who fought in the match. He didn't have the mask on in the match.
Yeah.
And then tonight he didn't have a mask on SmackDown.
Oh, I didn't watch that, so, but yeah.
And Uncle Howdy just touches his shoulder. Uncle Howdy is kind of like the dirty uncle that was touching you. That's what's coming up.
Been there.
It's like, what? There's no cohesive story.
Well, I think it's kind of like the Firefly Funhouse, Bray, and The Fiend. Now we have whimpering, crying, I'm not really a bad guy, Bray, and then Six. I think that's what we're going to see, that dynamic. So when he has pay-per-view matches, he'll be Six. And then all the promos, he'll be his, this is just Bray Wyatt, man. You know?
That was a pretty good impression.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
And then long story short, they just kill LA Knight, who is probably the best thing outside of Roman on SmackDown right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good, man. I like him. I don't know what happens, dude. I don't know what's next for LA Knight. I mean, was he in that Bray promo today?
No.
Okay, so it was just
literally
Bray.
Literally nothing. They did a recap of the match. Mountain Dew everywhere.
That was the
so
worst.
Embarrassing.
It's the logo everywhere. And guess what? It's not going anywhere because Nick Khan wants to do more shit like that. Apparently, they're working out a deal for a Cinnamon Toast Crunch match at WrestleMania. And I'm not even kidding. Those aren't jokes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be called a Cinnamon Toast Crunch match, but they are partnering with Cinnamon Toast Crunch to do a match that they're going to sponsor, and it's going to have some kind of element.
Just give it to Saudi Arabia. We're done. Just give it. I'm on Team Saudi right now.
Woo, boy.
You imagine the women's matches if Saudi Arabia takes over?
Oh, it's over.
Hey, Alexa.
The first blood match is full decapitation.
No, okay.
Comes right out of their ass.
All right, moving on to AEW. Some cool stuff happened over there as well. On Dynamite, Samoa Joe and Darby Allin. Boy, my goodness. Did you watch that?
Oh, of course I did.
Immediately broken hard way, right in the face with a table. Yeah. I don't think that was planned.
That looked like a very nasty, deep gash.
Yeah, because it was the under the table, the metal part. I saw it happen. I'm like, oh, no. And as soon as he hit, dunk, cracked him right in the freaking eyebrow.
But he's still like...
It helped the match. It made the match more intense because he seemed pissed. Like, oh, hard way. Okay. And he was throwing Darby around like a doll. He threw him out of the ring like a doll.
Yeah, that one where he threw him and you could see Darby's legs kind of like buckle as soon as they hit. Like,
yeah, man. He was mad. He got some receipts for that. I saw it. Even he did his famous walk away when Darby was going to do the dive through the ropes into the table. He did his, like, walk away. Beautiful. Slammed him in a jacket full of thumbtacks. Then Darby ripped open the ring and exposed the wood underneath.
That looked kind of dangerous, but...
Yeah, and did a muscle buster on that. You know, he wasn't allowed to do that move. Like, that move injured Tyson Kidd. Like, was it Tyson Kidd? Yeah, right? I think so. He did a muscle buster, I think, on Tyson Kidd or something like that. Or Dynamite Kidd. I don't know. One of those kids got jacked by a muscle buster. Huh?
I don't think it was Dynamite.
No. I don't even know which one.
Well, because like when they did the muscle buster, like 1-2 inches off, and you're landing on the wood, like very potentially dangerous outcome there.
Yeah, well, you know, Darby is relentless. So,
but he's a good wrestler, though. You don't really give him the credit because of all the wacky stunts and you know high flying moves he does, but he pulls off a lot of good. Like technical moves. I don't know if he has the body to. I mean, he's got a skateboarder's body.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason some people hate him, old schoolers hate him, is because he's not safe with himself. He doesn't really protect himself with these spots that he does. He just goes for it like a skateboarder falling down a staircase. You know what I mean? He doesn't care. You know, instead of putting his arms back and get the fall better, I don't know. He just dives for death. And that's just going to shorten his career, and that sucks. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of cutting your career short just to have a couple interesting matches.
But he's so young. But
I mean,
He doesn't think, oh, I should protect my body. He's at the point of his life where he thinks he'll never be 40.
Yeah.
Or 35.
Wait till you get to your 40s, kid.
Even though he works with Sting, who's 63. You know, when you're young, you never think about being old.
No.
And you could tell he's not planning for 2 days from now, let alone, when I'm older, I should take care of myself now. So
listen to me, kid. It sucks. I used to do that, too. I used to be stupid and watch Jackass and jump off of balconies and jump off of stages and crowd surf and land on my head all the time. Not fun for your 40s, man. I'm telling you, it's going to suck. And I did a lot less than you did. Anyway, moving on. Timothy Thatcher took on Bryan Danielson, which, man, that's a dream match to me, and it should have been with a healthy Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. But man, surgical, that dude.
Yeah, I know. This is my first exposure to Thatcher.
Oh, he's so good.
And great facial expressions, great look. I mean, he seems to be the type of guy that would never grow over in WWE because he's not super jacked, but he's not skinny, but he's got a nice build, but he's balding. And
he did a little bit on NXT with Ciampa for a little bit.
Okay.
And it was decent, but he got let go amongst the wave of people that got let go. But he comes from the school of Barnett, man. Old school. Like, you see it in the ring. He's not nervous, very slow. Yeah. Everything was methodical, you know?
He is very polished.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, I don't know long term what. I mean, they have so many people on that roster. Like, Big Bill's not even being used.
Yep.
That's insane to me. Yep. So I don't, like, you know, I'm glad I got to be exposed to Thatcher, but, like, I don't know where the space is for him. And, you know, unless they get a second hour for Rampage or another, like, a Saturday night main event type show or something, like, I don't know what they're going to do with all these guys.
They got to start the Ring of Honor show already. It's just, like you said, it's too much talent. Big Bill technically is Ring of Honor, or at least the embassy. No, not the embassy. The firm, whatever. They operate in those worlds. So it's just, I don't know. They need another show, which is crazy to say because we have so many wrestling shows to watch already.
But I do like that they're kind of highlighting Brian Cage. Like, he's been, I think, on TV 2 to 3 times in a row now.
Yep.
When... You know, was it a year ago he was shown in a promo with Tully Blanchard, then you don't see him for 4 months, and then he's back with that group minus Tully Blanchard, and then he's off air for another 2 weeks. They didn't seem to know what to do with him, but, like, he's going over. Like, the more he's being used, he's a great heel.
He's a champion. He's the Ring of Honor six-man tag champion with the Gates of Agony, who we both saw.
Yeah, thank you.
At PCW Ultra.
To the Sheik.
Thank you, Joseph the Sheik.
I was lucky my car was...
Earl drove to Wilmington in a giant red Jeep.
Right, and when I walked Lois... Well, I mean, you have to be... You know, you people who aren't from L.A., every... You know, Wilmington's not Holmby Hills, I can assure you that much. So, you know, we're joking around, but, like, I've done comedy shows in that area where I had another red car, and they're like, we're going to put you on first. I'm like, no, I'm the headliner. They're like... This is a Crip neighborhood. You'll be going on first and leaving. So when I walked Lois after the match, I think I told you guys this, every home had a gigantic pit bull ready to pounce. And these were not normal pit. They look like miniature horses. So, no, it was Lois. Poor Lois was like, I couldn't even get her to take a squirt. Like, she was so fucking scared. Because every gate we passed, they got bigger as I went more east. So, but that was fun to see. It packed. I mean, PC Ultra. Is that?
PCW Ultra.
I'm sorry. I'm butchering names tonight. I picked up, thanks to Eddie, a $15 Sid doll.
Hey, don't say thanks to Eddie. You directly, you went straight.
You let me know where it was.
Yeah, then. Yeah. You were like, do you have any dolls here? I'm like, yeah, right over there.
Action figures, man. You don't call them dolls.
No, PCW Ultra always has, man. They've always put on great shows with talent that ends up going, you know, they have a good eye. I've said it before here. Like, I saw the Lucha Brothers there. I saw Swerve Strickland there. I've seen Brian Cage and Thatcher and, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. A bunch of talent that goes through PCW ends up doing shit on TV. So there was a lot of new talent at that show that I wasn't familiar with, but I'm assuming they all did great. So I'm assuming they're on their way. So we'll see them soon enough.
Yeah. It was fun to, I mean, it was a packed, what was that? Not a concert hall, but a auditorium, I guess.
An auditorium, yeah.
And it was the energy ultratorium. Yeah, I mean, tons of vendors. Like, it was really, it's fun to see a smaller scale show, and like, you feel more, there's more energy at something like that.
Well, speaking of that, I also went the night before. I went to Circle Six, and it was all death matches. Pretty crazy. Lots of light tubes, lots of glass, but it was cool to be there because bass player of Nine Inch Nails, Danny Lohner, was DJing the night, and he brought his buddies from A Perfect Circle, and Josh Freese, and all these people were there. It was a very interesting. I wasn't expecting to be at a tiny death match with the guys from Perfect Circle, but it happened. But shout out to Circle Sixes. They're doing good stuff too. It's just they're trying to do all death match, and I don't know.
So they're going for like the XPW vibe.
They're going XPW, but higher production value, bigger stage. Like, you know,
that's
good.
It's not hard to imagine.
Yeah, they're trying to be the ECW, I think, of what's going on right now. But I mean, GCW and them have beef. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. I'm not getting involved in the local indie drama. Last thing about AEW is finally talking to Warner Discovery about a streaming service. They just launched that Honor Club, so you can watch all the old Ring of Honor stuff online. But I'm assuming if they do end up doing an AEW streaming service, it should include the Honor Club, at least the library, if they own it. You know what I mean?
They have to really separate Ring of Honor from AEW because it's just too confusing. Like, it's not truly Ring of Honor right now because you have so many AEW guys there. It's kind of like, okay. Like when Brian Cage walks out with the Ring of Honor six-man belt, it's like, yeah, but you're more AEW than you are Ring of Honor. I just think maybe for like a super card, like eventually AEW, I'm assuming, will have their WrestleMania. Mm. Do it then where you Forbidden Door, New Japan, Ring of Honor, you know, one night. But like, I just wish they would separate it.
I think once they get their own TV show, we'll get that. And it'll be good to have two separate brands. Don't let them cross over. Don't let the Ring of Honor guys show up on AEW TV. Separate them. But give them the same amount of attention, the same amount of production or hire, and you know, give them some stories so that we can build to something like that. Like you said, a super card where you'll get Ring of Honor versus, you know, like a Survivor Series.
Yeah, like what is Jay Lethal? Technically, he's Ring of Honor. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's on much more in AEW.
Yeah, well, you know, historically, though, he's more of a Ring of Honor guy, I would say. He's had a lot more history with Ring of Honor, as well as Jeff Jarrett and Claudio. Even though Claudio, everybody thinks of him as AEW or prior, you know, WWE as Cesaro. His history is all Ring of Honor. So, I don't know. They do need a TV show. It's not working right now. The way they're doing it.
It's just too much brand confusion. So,
yep. Moving on, there's also, I wanted to, since we talked about Thatcher and AEW, Thatcher was announced to be on Bloodsport 9, which is here in LA during Mania weekend. What a weekend we have ahead of us. That's going to be it's not even a weekend, it's a week. I already requested the entire week off and the following couple of days after that for recovery.
That's insane.
Because it's going to be insane, dude.
It's LA. Everybody's going to be here.
Everyone's going to be here. Everybody's doing shows. GCW's got like three of them. I'm sure Circle Six will have shows. I mean, I think the only ones that are not doing a show is PCW Ultra because they're smart. They're like, fuck that. But there is a lot going on. Bloodsport 9, like I said, will be here. And their first match that they announced was Ibushi, his first match back and his first match since leaving New Japan, which... it's a big deal. I don't know. He was the hottest free agent, I think, in the market right now. Him leaving New Japan is really a big deal, but it opens him up for an AEW run because he's, as you know, the golden lover of Kenny Omega. So he might be there sooner than later, I think. I think they're going to let Josh get the first crack at the first match. Everybody's excited for him versus Speedball Mike Bailey. I'm not even too familiar with Speedball Mike. I know he's a good wrestler. He's got that. He's over like Daniel Garcia was a couple months back before he became a boy band guy with Jericho.
Yeah, they're butchering that kid. Like, man. But that's, you know, because when I saw him at, what was it, PWG?
Yeah.
He wrestled Takeshita? Yeah. It was like, wow, this kid, to see him that close, like, this guy's a star. Both of them are, actually.
Yeah.
But It's nice to see Takeshita getting a little rub with MJF.
Yeah, he's got a title, not a title shot, but he's got a match against the champ for what they call a championship contenders match. I mean,
he'll lose that next week, but like it's still.
Well, he could win it because it's not the belt. The belt's not up for grabs. So MJF can lose that and still keep the belt. I don't like those matches because it just feels weird.
See, I don't think you can have MJF lose until the Bryant match. Assuming Bryant wins.
You're assuming Bryant's going to take the belt from MJF?
No, I'm saying I don't think you can have MJF lose until they fight, no matter what the outcome is. Because
I think the way they're setting it up is that Danielson's going to be going into that match really injured. That's why they keep targeting his arm, so that he loses that match, and they could just be like, well, he was really injured. Because I don't think they're taking that belt off MJF anytime soon.
He's just too over, and they don't really have like a secondary great heel right now. I mean, you could put Omega in that. By the way, I'm not sure Omega should be on Rampage right now. Like, I don't like that angle at all.
Yeah.
Like, in that promo was like, it was funny at the end. Like the guy kissed him or something. Like,
oh, he did that. Oh.
But, like, how do you go from winning the Trios titles, that great seven series, you know, especially Omega's match with Ospreay, and then now he's on Rampage
versus Matt Hardy, who shouldn't be in the ring anymore.
And who else? I'm going to blank.
Ethan Page, right,
who I love, but it's the like firm. It's in Prince Nana. Like, get that guy out of here. Like, that's you. I just, that's where AEW just, Omega's probably their hottest guy right now.
Yeah,
arguably with MJF, and you're putting him on Rampage against, unless there's a storyline now that's airing right now. Maybe there's something going on that I'm not seeing, but like even in the middle of that promo, and by the way, it was a total ripoff when one of the Bucks threw the basketball through the hoop. I saw that when Mr. Perfect did his perfect promo. Like, come on, man. Which is still my favorite promo of all time.
Yeah, that's a good one. He played all the sports.
He throws the football to himself. And it's like 80 yards down. He catches it. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. A lot of people are complaining about that. There's people complaining about MJF saying that, you know, his promos are getting repetitive and they're not really doing him justice. I don't know. We'll see where all this ends up. But I'm with you. I don't think Kenny Omega, he should be, the Elite should be feuding with the House of Black right now. There's this match on Rampage that now need to happen. We should be building towards that.
Well, maybe they come out tonight. Maybe House of Black comes out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I just, as soon as that aired, I'm like, what? So it was funny.
Yeah,
you know,
that
little like,
yeah, that little sound was, now it's viral. It's a viral moment. It's all over the internet.
But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I just, hopefully I'm wrong, and maybe House of Black. That would be amazing to have like Malakai Black and Omega, you know, I'm assuming that, and then the other two are against the Bucks. You know, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Well, that we were talking about the weekend, the Mania weekend. AEW is going to be technically in town. Ring of Honor is putting on the Super Card of Honor here in LA.
Well, they also are doing a show here.
Yeah, there's somebody by the name of Hollywood Hunk.
Hollywood Hunk.
Hollywood Hunk.
Courtesy of my connections.
Earl Man got him a show, so they'll be here doing comedy that weekend too.
So if you're in town that weekend to see Uncle Levi and crack him up. Sorry. It's a welcome to Hollywood. That's Hollywood in a nutshell. Uncle Levi's been up here for 30 years.
Yep.
Yet, he's pro wrestler, bumped. Can fill the room. Uncle Levi, take the week off, brother. It's the story of my life, man. At least I'm on the show, though. But I mean, I, you know.
Yeah. That's why Earl did it. He's trying to get himself a spot.
No, absolutely. I said, listen.
Got to get your shit in, brother. Get it.
I said, if I help you get this kid, it's the same. There was two conditions to my last show, the Hollywood Hunk here had. And that was, one, I'm on it. And two, someone else isn't on it, who was loitering in the room. And I said to him, I'll be the heel. I'll take the heat. So that's going to be a great, fun way to kick off the, because I think there'll be people here from all companies.
Oh, for sure. That won't really be the kickoff. I think the kickoff was announced Wednesday night.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
Yes. Please. Wednesday night. Somebody by the name of Sam Roberts wants to come to our house and challenge us for this belt. He's going to be doing Not Sam-a-Mania up in the main room, March 29th. Tickets are on sale.
By the way,
it's going to be crazy.
Sam, I'll throw him under the bus in 2 seconds if I can get a spot on that show. See, these guys are laughing, but I'm a show mercenary.
I mean, I don't know if it's a stand-up show. I mean,
I don't care.
It is absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what it is. I have no friends in this business.
Earl's ready to fight for a spot.
Yeah, man.
I have to.
Me too. Earl, I say you and I walk in there and challenge him to a match.
I say I do 10 minutes of stand-up, then you come out.
The bump.
Now, Sam Roberts is great. I did Kill Tony with him once, and I was like, he's so nice and humble, and so it'll be fun to have him here.
Yeah, it'll be a fun week, like I said, starting Wednesday. Then there's Thursday night is the hunk.
Yes, it's. I think it's the 10:30 show here, April 30th, is it?
March 30th.
March 30th.
Yeah. So. Friday, I think we also got the – you know, are you any of us going to go to see the Hall of Fame inductions for WWE? Because that's happening,
where
too.
Where is it?
I'm assuming at one of those theaters over there.
Probably the Mayan Theater.
Because last time – didn't they do the last one right after SmackDown? Like, they did it at SmackDown?
Yeah, they
SmackDown?
Taped SmackDown, and then they did the thing, yeah.
Yeah, because Undertaker was, like, in the ring at SmackDown for it.
Well, I'm going to be holding up when's Kamala getting in? I'll cause trouble. I don't care. Yes. Someone did a full video today on YouTube. We got to get Hornswoggle in. If Hornswoggle gets in before Kamala, I'm going to show up at Titan Towers. We're going to have some problems.
I'm pretty sure Titan Towers isn't there anymore.
Oh, it's Sanford, Connecticut? It's not there anymore?
I think they have a new building.
They moved.
Oh, where they move?
Still in Connecticut.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
We're gonna have an interpromotional building on the 30th because WWE is here that day. I can't talk about it, but they're going to be here during the day.
Well, I'd like to be involved in that project.
I mean,
they're gonna need someone.
Yeah, I'll be in the building loitering.
Oh, well, I know that. This guy is gonna be like Schwarzenegger's unit in the woods in Predator. He's gonna be like,
I'm gonna be up against the wall.
We already have Matt Edgar who's gonna be lurking too.
I'll be lurking, but you know they're gonna need someone to be the setup.
Earl, get up there. Show them how it's done.
What do you want me to do? Yeah, 100%.
That's what it's gonna be. Like
these kids. Need someone who's bitter, funny, and, you know, because a lot, who talks about promos today? Very few. I'd say MJF. Think of me as a less successful, older MJF.
What a way to sell yourself.
Are we going to talk about... Well, yeah, I mean, I got a bigger dick than he does.
Oh, but, hey, that's a true thing. I've seen it.
Sorry,
you're on
MJF.
The show.
You are Jewish. You can tell by the hook. Are we going to talk about the person who passed away, Leaping Lanny Poffo?
Oh, yes. I mean, it feels like every week now we have someone passing away.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Either a comic or a wrestler.
Yep. Lanny Poffo, Macho Man Randy Savage's brother, the genius. Rest in peace to him. He passed away tragically. I think pretty young. I mean, what was it, 60-something?
63. Yeah.
63.
He was in shape. They're the same age as Sting. Isn't that crazy?
Like, yeah, man.
He looked jacked when he was
at the Hall of Fame for Macho Man. He looked jacked up.
Well, even when he came out with Jay Lethal a couple years ago, when they brought back Black Machismo.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite recent vignettes where you just saw a hand tap Jay Lethal on the shoulder like he was blessing him, and then he gives him the glasses, and he's like looking at them. He puts them on. It's like acting like Macho Man. Like, he does that Macho Man, like, you know how he would like. I'm Jay Lethal's biggest fan, so Jay Lethal might be in the building March 30th.
Let's get him in here.
I had some other demands for the Hollywood hunk. He said, well, who do you want on the show? And I gave him a list of people.
Kenny Omega on the top
100%.
Of that
list. Kenny Omega. Maybe they reunite the Golden Lovers here in the belly room.
Hey, we can do that.
I'd jump out the window if that happened.
That could happen.
And there's not even a window.
I'll call Josh Barnett. I'll have him bring him over all bloody from Bloodsport.
But that's, you know, I tell you, if you're in LA, March 30th, the Comedy Store. Come here Wednesday for Sam Roberts Show. Thursday is going to be wild. It's going to be because pro wrestlers with time on their hands, it's a very dangerous environment.
Yeah.
And what's even worse than pro wrestlers with time on their hands is pro wrestling fans. It's going to be Mark City in the Belly Room.
Yeah. We're going to have to advise all the door guys. Like, you know, if there's going to be a lot of people trying to get in, pretending to be wrestlers, too.
Oh,
yeah, I'm a wrestler. Let me.
And if you remember the last time we did it wasn't an AEW specific show, but it's because there were some WWE people there, too. That was the night Sam Tripoli fought Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh.
So, there's a wild atmosphere when wrestlers are in the air. You know, it's just
blood gets pumping, brother.
Yeah, it's a very fun environment in here.
All right, I wanted to talk some stories, topics. I wanted to ask you guys, how important is a good story for you in pro wrestling? Because there is two different schools of it. I know that, you know, Earl, you're more of an AEW guy. I also am more of a fan of, you know, good pro wrestling over sports entertainment. But I still think pro wrestling deserves good stories. I still think AEW needs to work on those stories. So for me, I think it's very important to have a good story. It's not the most important thing, but it's important. What do you think, Earl?
Well, it's like I have always said, like when I watch the movie Predator, and I don't mean the Harvey Weinstein story, but when I watch it, it still excites me because the story makes sense. Like I know I'm not watching a documentary about an actual alien killing eight guys in the jungle, but the whole plot makes perfect sense. So that's why when I watch wrestling, I like a storyline that adds up to the conclusion. Like, okay, like we all know it's not real at this point, but who cares? Like, I know when I watch a movie that it's not real. But I still like it to make sense. I think they're essential in holding your long-term interest.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference between WWE and AEW. Why more people tune in to WWE is because there are stories. Whether they're good or not, that's subjective. But people tune in for the stories, where in AEW, people are tuning in to see wrestlers.
But I mean, I agree and I disagree. I mean, I do think AEW's roster is just as star-heavy as... I mean, they might not have a John Cena-like type, but I do agree with you that some of AEW's storytelling just kind of, like we've said it a million times.
It just breaks down to dream matches. It's like, oh, I want to see this guy versus this guy. There's no reason for it. It's just, they're two good wrestlers. Let's watch them fight, you know?
Yeah, but come up with a good reason through the story.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But what bothers me, and it's little matches, it's big matches, you know, I won't repeat for the 50th time my thing on Omega and Ospreay and how they just let it disappear. It's like, okay, there could have been something done to extend the feud for when Ospreay comes back to the States, or even when Sean Spears was in the ring in Toronto with Wardlow, when for, you know, that previous 4 to 5 months he was tormenting Wardlow. There was no, like, he's a good guy now. He was just put in the ring with Wardlow.
Yeah.
So it's like, it didn't make any sense. So I didn't get excited. I didn't get angry. It was like, oh, okay.
All right, John, stories?
I mean, you need them. I like a good guy that's been beaten down for months coming back, where you don't care if they win or lose. You just want to see them give a beating to the person that is supposed to. Like Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's going to beat the... We know he's not winning Elimination Chamber, but to see him beat the shit out of Roman is going to be nice because we've watched that story.
Yeah.
Where Cody and Finn, great match. Didn't give two shits about it.
Now I'm going to skip over the top three. We'll do the top three at the end, but because it ties in with this, how do you? I know we're older guys. You know, Earl obviously.
I am.
Earl obviously. Yes, I'm 41. I've lived through the golden era of wrestling. John, you're a little younger, but still, you're still kind of in that world. How do you feel about stories evolving on YouTube instead of TV? Do you think that they're expecting too much from their fans to tune into YouTube? Or do you think we're just the old guys that don't want to follow them on YouTube and it's working for the young kids to follow like BTE or Sammy Guevara's vlog or whatever it is?
Well, I mean, that was my main problem with the Omega Ospreay, that the initial promo was on YouTube after Dynamite, and I was like, I think it depends who you're marketing yourself to. Like, that was something for the marks. Marks are going to go on YouTube.
Sure. But I mean, aren't you a mark? Wouldn't you tune into YouTube?
I did. I mean, I did when I found out about it, but someone had to tell me, hey, you're a big Omega guy. You should watch YouTube. Mm. If that person doesn't tell me, I never would have. I mean, I probably would have seen it eventually, but like, to me, I think, especially in AEW's case, you have to draw in the casual fan more because you need them more than WWE. So I think that you have to show it all on Dynamite, mainly Rampage a little bit. If you save stuff for YouTube, you're going to lose a lot of people in terms of what stories make sense, because I guarantee you that next week on Dynamite, when they did the trios match between United Empire and the Elite, I'll guess 20% of the people are like, why are they fighting? Like, what's going on here?
It's bomb.
So, you know, it depends who you're marketing yourself to.
John, you as a person that's on social media a lot because you run the network and podcasting, I know that maybe personally you're not like all about it, but you're definitely on it. Do you think they're doing the right thing by kind of depending on social media and YouTube to build these stories?
It's funny because that's exactly what I see at the Comedy Store. Clips are so important that you have to take people offline because you're not going to get everybody tuning into your show every week. People, you're going to get more hits on a clip or a viral of the Ospreay
Omega
promo that everybody was like, oh my God, this is a great promo. Not everybody was going to see that on TV, and it becomes a little bit iffy because now you don't know what you can and can't post because it's technically owned by the network.
Mm.
So I think your visibility is just through the roof on social media, and it's the right play. Is it annoying? Yes. I don't want to have to go to 15 places to see a story play out the same way. If I pay $60 for a video game, I don't want to have to spend $100 downloading other levels.
Mm.
Like, it should all be in one place. That's right. What you're getting. But from a business perspective, you're going to get more people. You're going to reach more people on the web.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny you brought that up. I've noticed that WWE and AEW's clips online recently have been like from the audience.
But immediately right after it happens. It's no longer like you have to wait a couple of days and they'll post a clip to WWE.com.
Yep.
It's immediate.
But the thing is that you're not getting the show that's being shown on TV. You're getting clips from people in the audience.
They have social media. They have genius. It's what we were trying to do here. We're trying to bring social media people in that could give clips of behind the scenes or from different angles.
Yeah.
You saw all those angles from that spot at the Royal Rumble. You're like, holy shit, the Logan Paul spot. You're like,
I'm surprised he didn't do another cell phone spot with that. Like,
he would have lost his cell phone. That was a hard fucking hit.
Yeah, it was.
But like, that promo was so, it's the perfect thing to talk about in this conversation because it was so good. I mean, it was like one of the best promos I've seen in the last 10 years where the heat between them, they each got their rub on. I mean, the United Empire guys were a little useless. They didn't add a lot to that promo. You know, the Bucks were, but the Bucks were selling it with the facial expressions.
Yeah.
And I just, it's tough because AEW tends to, I think, cater more towards the marks.
You got to watch BTE, honestly.
B-E-T?
BTE.
Oh,
no, not BET, brother. Come on, brother. No, BTE, Being the Elite, is their YouTube show that they do every week. And, you know, if you're an AEW fan and you want the stories to make a little more sense, they don't make a whole lot more sense. But they do have some building of stories. Like, a lot of the Matt Hardy stuff and a lot of the Hollywood Hunk stuff is all being built through Being the Elite. So unless you're watching that show every Monday, you're kind of missing out on the AEW product, which is unfortunate because they don't really promote it on the show at all. They don't tell you, like, hey, tune in to BTE every Monday.
But even with Dark and Dark Elevation, you know, they do the little CNN, you know, ticker, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't, you got to really be paying attention because it's so unnoticeable, at least to me, that you got to kind of, oh, they're giving results right now.
Yeah.
So I do think.
Well, that makes me think, too, a topic that came up this week. They were doing, I've had people complain about AEW that they made all these promises at first that they were going to be more sports-oriented, they were going to have more of that stuff, the tickers, the win-loss records, it was going to be more about pro wrestling, and that they feel that recently the show has kind of lost its way and it's become more sports entertainment than it is an actual sport. But I tried to, you know, my argument was if you want the business to grow, you have to entertain people, and that includes the people that aren't really marks, the general fans that we keep talking about. There's a ceiling when it comes to marks. All the marks are going to watch AEW anyway because, of course, they want to watch Timothy Thatcher versus Bryan Danielson. But if you want that business to grow, now you start having to appeal to a broader audience. Now that's when you have your Danhausens and your, you know, the mimosa matches and all this other stuff, the sports entertainment stuff. It's there to draw in bigger crowds because if you're just going to market to marks, it's a capped audience, you know?
Well, it's like being a Kiss fan. Like, that's why Kiss has never sold more than a certain amount of records because they don't really attract anyone outside of the marks of their fan base.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, you know, Metallica sells probably 50 to 1 to Kiss because they do kind of cater themselves a little bit towards non-Metallica fans. Go, yeah, I'll give this band a spin. And I think just with some of the matches, you know, AEW is like they're playing catch up to a 50-year-old company.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in some ways is almost an unwinnable battle because it's just 50 years to 3 years. Even though they have some veterans behind the scenes, it's still like they're going to be better at promotion and the technical aspects of a TV show. But I don't know. I just think that it's a fine line between the casual fan who will only watch Dynamite and Rampage, maybe order a pay-per-view based on what they see on those two shows, probably more Dynamite than Rampage, because I don't think watching wrestling on Friday nights is on most people's to-do list.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list, but that's because I'm a giant mark.
I'm a baby mark.
Baby mark. All right, and then finally, we'll end the show tonight with our top three stories that have happened on television. I'm going to go ahead and start with my number one because we all know it's going to be the Bloodline. It's number one, the best story I've seen on television, not just pro wrestling, like in a lot of TV shows. I mean, shout out to The Last of Us Episode 3. Everybody in the world saw it and cried. It was beautiful. However, the Bloodline storyline has been going on longer, and honestly, it's just been written to perfection. Even if it wasn't pre-written and a lot of it was improvised because they weren't expecting that reaction, they've maneuvered that story to become, honestly, one of the best I've seen on TV.
I would say I'll go back a little bit just because, you know, wrestling's more than just the last 10 years. The Sting Hogan, the first match, I think 97, Starrcade, took 9 months. It was a 9-month buildup, and mainly on Nitro, a little bit on was it Thunder. But, you know, those 9 months of Nitros were amazing. They just took forever and ever in the anticipation of seeing Sting and Hogan finally get in, because Sting didn't, I don't think he said a word. He was just the Silent Crow character.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted that, like John said, you wanted to see Sting beat the shit out of Hogan. Now, the match wasn't that great. No, that's the only drawback of doing like a 9-month buildup is you better make sure that match is good.
Yeah.
But the way it was done on TV, I don't know what the pay-per-view buys were, but I guarantee you that's one of the top-selling WCW pay-per-views of all time, because it was just so many people, casual fans, marks, you know, the commercials on, I think it was TNT at the time, but it was one of the first WCW pay-per-views you actually saw commercials for. Mm. So,
is that your number one? Would you put that as best?
In terms of the plot line, yes.
Okay. John?
You all right over there?
Yeah. He just did the sound.
Did you just come?
I did come.
Oh, Sting.
Sting not talking.
I would say probably because I was a kid, it just resonates with me more. Kane and Undertaker.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good story.
I would say that and my number two are probably tied.
That's gotta be Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good story. I mean, yeah, I'm still debating the two and threes in my head, but for number two, I'm going to go with one that really impacted me as a child, Jake the Snake Roberts and Macho Man Randy Savage. that story that they had with the bite on the arm and the messing around with Elizabeth and the wedding and the whole thing, like, that traumatized me as a kid. I mean, that was fucked up. Watching Macho Man get bit by a snake, I was like, what? That, you know, like you, I still thought it was real at the time.
I think it was real.
Well, he did get bit by a snake. I'm just saying, I thought wrestling real at the time. But yeah, it was a devenomized snake, but it was still biting the shit out of him.
Yeah, but and no disrespect to Leaping Lanny Poffo, but Macho Man was probably so coked up and on HGH, you could have had a whale bite him and he wouldn't have felt it. Yeah. So, you know.
Jake has a great, I forget where he told it, but he told that story about, you know, pitching that idea to Macho Man, and it's a good story. I think it was on Rogan, maybe. He said that story, but it's a good watch. Number two?
NWO.
Ooh.
It was perfect storytelling. You know, you look back now and go, oh, yeah, Hogan was the obvious. You know, how could I not see it was going to be Hogan? Because it originally was supposed to be Sting. Like, that was pitched that Sting would be the one turning. So, but the way they drawed it out, and, you know, our third partner, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, first Hall came out, Nash next week, and then for the next couple weeks, and the big pay-per-view, I think it was, I forget, when they powerbombed Bischoff through the table. It wasn't Bash at the Beach, but it was the one right before Bash at the Beach. It was just perfectly drawn out, perfect amount of time, I think maybe 3 months, from like when Hall came in to Hogan turning heel. It just very well written and executed.
Yeah. John, two?
I'm torn between my number two. My number one, I'm not sure on, but number two, it was either going to be WWE buys WCW or Rock Cena.
Okay.
I loved the Rock Cena feud. It was 2 years long, probably 3 years long, because Cena was trashing The Rock going to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then the year after, Rock Cena. The following year, Rock Cena. Well, the first year was Rock Cena Miz. Or was that this?
I don't remember.
No, it was Rock Cena, then Rock Cena again. And I think The Rock may have fought Miz in between there. But yeah, I loved that feud. Like, the promos there were fucking fantastic. Everything was great about that.
You hear that, WWE? You should put some money into the Fast and Furious franchise and give us what we want. I want Fast 10 or 11 to be John Cena versus The Rock on the moon, because that's where the movies were leading to. Their cars were rocketing to the moon or into space. Just fucking do it already and give me The Rock and Cena on the moon. Thank you. Send a check to my house.
I'm sure Paul Walker's like, thank God I'm not on Earth to watch this shit.
They're bringing him back for Fast 10, dude. I know, isn't that what crazy? The fuck? Anyway, all right. So, John, so that was your two and three, or is that just two?
That's just my two.
Okay. So for three, I have a lot that, you know, like you mentioned, the Undertaker Kane was a big one for me, but Stone Cold and Vince McMahon, the everyday man fighting against his corporate boss that he hates, middle fingers. I mean, boy, that was the peak wrestling for me when I was a kid. That I thought that was perfect. So that's my third pick.
This is a tough one. I'm having trouble thinking of. Boy, I'm trying to think. You know, I can't. John, can you go? I can't think of one.
So mine was similar to yours. It wasn't Stone Cold Vince specifically, but it was the corporation. I love that entire storyline throughout the entire thing. Corporate Rock was fantastic. I mean, The Rock was involved in some of the best storylines ever, but Corporate Rock was definitely one of my favorite versions of The Rock.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I'm going to say...
come on, there must have been a Kamala story.
Not really, to be honest. I mean, he was in the first casket match. Shout out to James Sugar Bear Harris. I'm trying to think of an old one. Because some of the older ones weren't on... You know, there was...
I'll give you a good runner-up real quick that you're probably not thinking of. And I don't know if you can call it a story, but I think it is. DX coming in, trying to take over the WWE, and guess what? They did. Because WWE is being run by Triple H and Shawn Michaels right now, at least in terms of creative.
You know, I'm going to say, you know, Piper Hogan. That was very well orchestrated. And, you know, I think it wasn't that long of a program. Like, it wasn't like 9 months. But, you know, you did. I mean, Piper was such a great heel in his promos in the Piper's Pits leading up to that WrestleMania. You hated him. You wanted to see, like John said, Hogan beat the shit out of him. And then you had the added Cyndi Lauper. So, like, it wasn't just on the weekly television show. It was also on MTV because, you know, she was a huge, huge star at the time. So I'll go with Piper Hogan, the build up to that.
Okay. John, number three.
I said mine, the corporate.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he went there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you went ahead.
And then my runner-up is Roman. I think we appreciate Roman's story with Sammy right now because we haven't seen a good story in God knows how long. But I think this is very this is a very common story when you're dealing with stables, so it doesn't really blow me away.
What, the Roman and Sammy?
Roman Sammy is very, very common. Like, when you look at what it is, it's common. It's just not common for today. We haven't seen a good story in God knows how long.
That might be it, too. That might be why we're so in love, because it's just been so long since we've had a solid
story. I mean, we saw it with The Shield. It was the exact same story where someone in the family turns their back on the family, but it was flipped. The person who turned their back ended up being the heel and not the baby face, which Sammy is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's other elements to this Bloodline story that I like. A lot of the gang references and like the gang beatdowns, a lot of the, like the mafia, like the whole jury with, you know, Roman slamming the mic down, calling for Solo. Like, it just felt very like mafia gangster shit that I do appreciate, that I haven't seen really in a long time, because we haven't really had a guy like Roman that can play that role. So I don't know. I think one of the reasons I like it so much.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think it's a different type, but I think the storyline itself is very similar. I think how it's handled is what's unique about it, and the fact that it's today and we don't have these stories, it stands out definitely. There are other stories where my mind is blown every single week.
Yeah.
And that was like the Kane one. We learned more about how Kane died in the fire.
I thought you were talking about Katie Vick and Kane.
Oh, God. Jeez.
I will like to add in one dark horse, because I think, you know, NWA, WCW in the late 80s, early 90s, they had some fantastic Saturday programming where it was Gordon Solie was the perfect, like a straight guy. When Nikita Koloff fought Magnum TA, they did a series of promos and vignettes where you hated Nikita Koloff. And I mean, I know you have to be of a certain age to appreciate it. This was back when people still thought he was from Russia, and but they did a contract signing, and we've seen a million of those, but they had Magnum TA on TV, Magnum TA's mom next to him, and he never told her that the business was a work. So when Nikita Koloff starts beating the shit out of him, she's like in tears going, what's going on here? Like, she's completely confused. And on TV, it was, and maybe it was that realness of her not knowing that pay-per-view. And I don't know how well they tracked pay-per-views back then, because it was the 80s. But you, once again, to John's point, you tuned into that pay-per-view based on what you saw on TV the last month or two, wanting to see Nikita Koloff get killed.
Yeah.
So against Magnum TA, who was like that generation's John Cena.
Yep. Well, that about does it. Wait, I can't close out a whole episode without talking about Prison Dom. He showed up. They did some kind of NASCAR thing with Rey Mysterio, and then he showed up to that to cause trouble. I mean, obviously, this is all building up to the inevitable and eventual Rey Mysterio versus Dom match at Mania. I'm excited for it. I don't think a lot of people are excited for it, but I want to see it. I also want to see Dom get a mask. That'd be cool.
There's something about Rey Mysterio giving an ass whooping to Dom that I'm going to really enjoy.
Okay. I hope he does the spot where he does the spanking spot, you think? Like a father to a son?
Yeah,
bad boy.
I mean, Prison Dom, it probably likes that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that'll do it for this week, everyone. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Make sure to go check out, what is it, Not Sam Roberts Live? Not Sam Mania?
Not Sam Wrestling present. Not Sam Wrestling and the Comedy Store present Not Sam Mania.
March 29th. Get your tickets now. You can go to comedystore.com, the shop. We have bundles there.
We're going to have a special limited edition t-shirt only available for when you buy your tickets online. We're going to have Store is War, our shirt, available for purchase. And there are going to be some special guests. We are sponsored by
Pro-Am Belts
and Broken Skull. Well, we don't know if they're going to be sponsoring the event, but we will be. The event will be sponsored by Broken Skull Beer, which is kind of cool. That's Stone Cold's IPA.
El Segundo Brewing. Shout out to them. I love those people. I mean, I've brought that beer in here before for a wrestling event that happened here. I won't name it this time. But, you know.
Oh, why not?
Oh, I don't.
It was the greatest wrestling event ever.
However.
What are we talking about?
Storcade.
Oh. We're talking about the
greatest. They want to do it again. What's his name? Matt was like, yeah, we want to do that again. I'm like, that sounded like everybody lost money.
It was. I mean,
it was cool.
It was awesome. But
I have to be honest with you. Like, to put a wrestling ring in the middle of the main room and have like these amazing matches. We're like, you know, I give credit where other people probably wouldn't, but it was a very well. I don't know if they made money, but it was fun.
I don't think it was a financial success, but it was definitely a success for the marks and like myself. I had fun there too. So
to see Johnny Curtis get.
Chopped by Barnett.
Chopped by Barnett. I don't think Johnny really anticipated it hurting as much as it did.
Nope. Yeah, I set that one up. I brought Josh in here. I brought him in here. And I'm like, you're going to chop Johnny? He's like, okay. So, yeah, that was.
I'll take your slap, Barnett, bitch.
Oh, shit. Let's do it. Let's set that up for the Thursday night. You ready, boy?
Probably not. It's easy to talk shit.
I'll show him this clip. Yeah, don't worry. All right. Anyway, follow us on social media at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store is War on Twitter. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl.
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And if you're in Los Angeles, March 18th, I'm filming my first special.
Hey!
Ooh.
I've hired a full camera crew. It's costing me a lot of money. We've already shot the first part. The second part's the actual special. It's at a secret location. If you are in LA, March 18th, it's a Saturday night. You can be a part of history. I can't tell you what the concept is.
But
you will be. You thought Bo Burnham's special was unique?
Oh, no.
This is going to be the real deal. This special, you might not think I'm funny. That's fine. You will think it is the most unique special you've ever seen in your life.
So you had it here first. Earl's filming a porn. I believe.
I don't think a special has ever been shot like this. So if you are in the LA area, March 18th, seating is very limited.
He's recording in a bathroom.
Yeah, it's
you're not far off.
And John, please follow John at Comedy Store Studios. They have a lot of great shows on there. I mean, I saw recently Justin Martindale's show is 500,000 views.
Yeah, we just hit 500K.
Hell yeah! Congratulations to Justin.
Last person passed by Mitzi.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. That's a fun fact. We'll be back next week with more wrestling news, possibly an interview here or there. You know, thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Thank you to Eddie for my luggage tag.